Temperatures around the Bay Area, Monterey is 53 degrees. Salinas and Watsonville are both 47 degrees. And here at KSCO Studios, it is 51 degrees. The official time is 10:06. This is KSCO 1080, and I'm Nikki James. It is now time for the Saturday special with your host, Steve Hartman.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Your director of accidental operations is sitting in for Michael Zwirling today. We've got a pretty good show for you, hopefully. Senator Jeff Denham is going to be with us in the first hour. In the second hour, we will be talking about potholes, maybe some desalination. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Well, clearly, not only did our fine board operations specialist, Nikki, not play Back in the Saddle again.
I'm going to play it later.
But she broke the coffee pot after she got her share. So I am doing this very dry, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, if you happen to be driving down Portola Drive and see a coffee shop, knowing that you are going to be driving past KSCO Radio, I like sweet Italian with a couple of sweet and lows in it, depending on the size of the cup. If it's a 20-ouncer, put three or four in, because you got to stay on my sweet side today. Absolutely. As you all know, I have been in Montana of recent. Actually, the last time I sat in this chair was sometime around July of 2006. I went back to Montana, have been very happy there, have not wanted to come back to Santa Cruz at all. I am here because I have to be here, not because I want to be here. It's a nice place to visit, but I don't want to live here anymore. Honest. But I do keep up on matters concerning the city of Santa Cruz, the county of Santa Cruz, the Monterey Bay, and the state of California, and I see that you people are in serious, serious trouble. You know, there's an old-time politician, and I'm just going to paraphrase what he had to say. His name was Frank Owen, East Coaster. Way back in 1929, he said, you know, my well-thinking and very smart citizens of my community decided to send me here to serve. And 2 years later, the lousy bastards kicked me out. And I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the lousy bastards are mounting a campaign. And if you don't pay attention to what's going on, you're going to lose your representative that's trying to keep them from digging and digging and digging into your wallets and pocketbooks. He is your state senator, District 12. His name is Jeff Denham, and let's get him on the air. Hopefully, I will remember how to do this. Good morning, Senator Jeff. Are you there? Good morning, Senator Jeff. Are you still there? Where is he? Nikki, I need help already. Good grief. Well, I'll try and hit his button one more time. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today, because we got to save your seat here. What's going on?
Well, obviously, I'm the target of a recall. The president pro tem of the Senate was very frustrated with me holding out last year. I was the major budget holdout during last year's budget, so he looked to recall against me last year and has decided that he's going to continue on. He wants to push at least a $5 to $8 billion tax increase through this year. And so it feels like he needs to take me out to do that.
Now, let's get this straight. The a politician from the left who has no business in the Monterey Bay area at all, has taken it upon himself to decide what's best for Monterey County and Santa Cruz County and even a little bit of San Luis Obispo County, yes?
And throughout the Central Valley as well.
The entire Central Valley has decided to take it upon himself to tell the people of this community what's best for them, and so he's decided that you should go.
Absolutely.
That's really irritating, especially when you're trying to save us some money. Why don't you give people a background of what you've been doing for us? This is your second and final term in office. Is that not correct?
Yeah, and I think
and
that's
you've been serving us fine for about what, 7 years?
6 years now.
6 years now. Give us a little bit of your background so that, you know, one thing we can thank Obama for, and that's for stirring up enough trouble that people who formerly paid no attention to politics at all are suddenly ears tuned to the radio and the television sets to find out what's going on. So let's thank the guy for that. Maybe since these people have opened up a little bit, we can broaden their horizons just a little bit today. Do you think?
Absolutely. And what Obama talks about is the spirit of change. And that's exactly what this President Pro Tem is trying to resist. I've been one that's tried to pull people together, Republicans and Democrats, to come up with a budget that makes sense. And, you know, common sense doesn't prevail in this situation. They want to spend more and tax more. And we as a state government, have to live within our means and make sure that spending does not outpace revenue.
It seems like every time the people of California try to get some change, it is blocked by Democrats at the state level, unions, and nonprofits throughout this state, along, and let's be clear, folks, this is a biggie too, along with academia coupled with student vote, have literally brought this state to its knees financially. And everything was pretty much parlayed out as to who was going to get what when with regards to control of the state through the various assembly and state senate bodies. And it's only because you worked extra hard that you were able to take a seat that wasn't meant for you anyway, correct?
Correct. Well, and I think getting out and talking to voters and letting them know what I stood for and what I'm going to fight for. But, you know, I've always been supported by not just Republicans, but Democrats and independents. In fact, my last election 2 years ago, I won with 60% of the vote when Democrats outnumber Republicans by 10%.
Is that total registration or is that just the voters, just those who actually vote? Or do we have a figure on that? Do we know how many Democrats went to the polls versus Republicans?
It was a heavy Democrat turnout year.
Mm-hmm.
So Democrats, you know, have elected me and, you know, have went above and beyond, you know, what Republican registration is to keep me in office. So locally, you know, people know what I stand for. They know what I'm fighting for. But these are not the same Democrats that are elected out of the Bay Area or, you know, these are Democrats that want to see a budget that makes sense, that's balanced.
What's happened to our state, Jeff? What's happened to it?
You know,
why are these politicians so entrenched? Is it because of the money and the backing of the unions and these outside influences? I mean, are the people ever going to get a fair shake?
You know, I hope so. I would hope that as term limits continues to kick in, we've seen a lot of different changes over the last 6 years. You know, I was elected in 2002 because of term limits. And then since then, I've seen the legislature change every 2 years dramatically, where this is the final, this will be the final turnaround in term limits. And you'll see a lot of those people that have been power hungry for decades, that are now termed out. And one of those is the President Pro Tem, Don Parada, who, was the, poster boy for, Prop 93 and the reason that Prop 93 went down. I mean, he's been in a lot of trouble in the past and he's, trying to utilize that power that he has to try to take me out.
Now, isn't he in a
people of my district are going to listen to him?
Isn't he in a large amount of trouble himself?
Excuse me. Yes, he is. Yes.
And what kind of trouble is he in? We might as well let our Monterey Bay and Central Coast citizens know what kind of trouble he's in and why he's in it.
The FBI has been investigating him for a few years now. They've subpoenaed him and searched his house and his son's house due to money laundering charges. So
it's the bad guys attacking the good guys so that the bad guys can stay in charge. Pretty much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do is ask the senator to tell us what's coming up with regards to budgeting for California. Clearly, the real estate market has taken a real hit, which means that property values are going to go down and in many cases be reassessed, which means less money is coming in to feed the state coffers, and we're looking at cuts. And I think that Senator Jeff here can perhaps clear a path for you to be able to visualize how you're going to be hit financially and in other areas, perhaps schools, perhaps jobs. We'll just have to wait and find out. Anyway, if you'd like to get in, if you'd like to ask Senator Denham a question, please give me a call. The area code for those of you outside the Monterey Bay, 831-479-1080 is the call-in talk show number. If you'd like to fax in a question, 475-2967, 475-2967, area code still 831. Okay, Jeff, how about giving us a rundown on what's taking place with regards to the budget this year?
Well, there's been very little movement in the budget this year. We're pretty much at a stalemate right now. Pro Tem has said he's got his proposal out there, which would consist of a huge tax increase, and he says he's willing to hold out until October if that's what it takes to get Republicans to support his tax increase. And the governor has proposed a 10% a cut across the board, which I completely disagree with both approaches. And then the Ledge Analyst Office, which our Ledge Analyst is somebody who's nonpartisan. We all respect her numbers. And she's come up with a proposal that actually starts somewhere in the middle. And so I'm hopeful that we can all start working together and cutting a lot of the waste that we have in government, get back to our government's core responsibility of you know, paying for our education system and fully funding our public safety system.
Okay. The first question I think I have is, or to clarify for the audience, our budget is supposed to be approved by what date by law?
Our budget's supposed to be approved by the legislature by June 15th. That's the what the Constitution dictates. That's the same Constitution that we take an oath, swear an oath to uphold. Yet every year, you know, that gets pushed out because of take it or leave it budget rather than a negotiated budget.
And Parada and friends have decided that they could hold out on the budget all the way till October. Is that what you're saying?
That's what he's proposed.
And how much of a penalty in the form of denial of salaries will he and his friends lose as a result of holding out until October?
Well, once July 1st gets here, all of the bills, actually much of the bills now, some are dictated by law that we pay, but many of them go on hold. And that's everything from state workers receiving their paychecks. We stopped paying some of the Medi-Cal payments. We stopped paying money to schools, which leaves a lot of people up in the air on whether or not they're going to have a budget, what that budget will consist of, especially for education.
But even though state workers may lose their salaries and funding may be cut for different programs, do assemblymen and senators lose any money?
No.
They continue to collect their salaries?
Well, they're on hold, and that's what happens to the state workers as well. All paychecks are put on hold. Now there's a system out there where you can borrow money from the banks until you get paid. It's a guaranteed system. I've actually proposed a bill this year that rather than, you know, legislators receiving their pay after the fact, that they actually forego their pay because I believe that if you didn't get your job done on time, you shouldn't get paid. So I've introduced the bill. I can tell you it's not popular by Republicans or Democrats. But I view it as the right thing to do, and we've got to put some teeth into our Constitution.
What kind of concept is that, Jeff? Actually not getting paid for not doing your job? That doesn't sound right. It's kind of like tenure. You know, you get paid forever and you can't get fired. Listen, we've got some people stacking up here. We're going to take a phone call or two. The number, 831-479-1080, if you'd like to ask Senator Jeff Denham a question. And in the meantime, I will try to ask questions, but of course, you're all brighter than I am because I'm just dumb and easy to begin with. Let's go to Zoya in Monterey. We don't want to keep these long-distance callers on hold too long. But first, I have to turn to Nikki and ask, if I hit her air button, will Senator Jeff stay on the line? Or do
yes.
Do I have to do something special with this system?
No, just go ahead and push her on air.
You bet. Here we go.
Just once.
Senator Jeff, if I lose you, please call me back because I don't want to be left holding the bag. Here we go. Zoya in Monterey. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome
to the Saturday special.
I just want to know if it's possible to create web to put every maybe month, maybe every 3 months, how money spent. Who, what representative vote, what way, and from whom he received money to support, for his support and election. This, and this should be on web very often, that people who want to know can know how money is spent, because what I see, all this PETS program, it's money just thrown away. And we are just expect more and more tax without knowing how money will be spent. I think it should be, we have internet and we need to use it. Not to, when you talk, very few people will have time, the same time to know. But it should be regular on web. It should be special web from Sacramento that no one can hide. That they are do-gooder, and they are mostly make good for themselves.
What a concept. Maybe some of that is in the works already, Zoya.
I just did not see any reliable spending information. Only budget this, but how money spent?
Wouldn't it be something if every check that went out from the state...
Yes, should be.
As the check was kicked out, it automatically made an entry into onto the website as it came out. Man, we could have a regular ticker, Senator. What do you think?
You know, I think it's a great idea. Much of that is on the web right now. I think the biggest problem is that it's not inclusive in one area. It's spread out under many different departments, which makes it very confusing, not only for a legislator that reads through those budgets and reads through those expenditures on a daily basis,
but
it makes it difficult for all of the listeners, all the voters, everybody that's paying attention to see exactly where
government
spends money.
I think it should be made very simple and should be maybe some group outside of Congress and that can put very simple information. Not you make it so difficult for yourself to understand what is going on. It's computerized confusion. It's what it is.
So what you're saying, Zoya, is
if it's
too confusing for the senator, it's way too confusing for the average citizen, and you want it someplace where anybody can go and find out what's going on.
Yes, very simple stuff. It's very simple, really. If they want to confuse us, this is a problem.
So what we're looking for is the continuous expenditure website for the state of California.
Yes,
I think.
And very simple that this was spent on this, and this representative received money from teachers union, from some other people who want to be forever.
I think those websites already exist on getting the money.
But it should be. California website, it's very easy. We have now in Monterey, you can have this everything on. I think they have closed sessions that we don't have. This is a but usually if people want, they can have it. People should not complain if they don't want to know.
Okay. Zoya, I want to thank you for your phone call. Senator Jeff, please follow up.
And I completely agree. It needs to be simple. It should be very simple for all voters, for all taxpayers to see exactly how their money is being spent. You know, some of that has happened. I've seen a big improvement over the last 6 years, but it can get much, much better. You know, I think that, first of all, like she said, it needs to be on a very simple format. So every day the bills get paid or every week, every month, that we can see exactly where that money's going. And then you can get to a point where, you know, seeing the hundreds of thousands or even billions of dollars that are spent in each different department, then you can start seeing exactly where it is being spent, whether or not it's an expenditure of those dollars, and start asking a lot of questions of the government and being able to get involved at a better pace. I believe that, you know, for education, for example, you know, we get down to a spending report on education that happens automatically, then we can actually see how much goes to school maintenance, how much goes to school books, how much goes to teachers, how much goes to your superintendents and your administration. You can look at our public safety budget, how much is going to those that are keeping the inmates in and keeping our public safe, and how much goes to administration there. And then we can start making intelligent cuts and start getting a government that's representative of the people.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I've got a question for you when we come back. We are going to take a short break, and then I'm going to pick up Robert in Sand City. It is 27 and a half minutes past 10 o'clock here on AM 1080 KSCO, AM 1340 KOMY. My name is Steve Hartman. I'm sitting in for Michael Zwirling today. He'll be back with you next week. I'm going to say roll 'em, Nikki, and be back with you in just a few. Thank you.
The first time I felt it, the second time I loved it, and the third time I told all my friends. Of course, I'm talking about ACT, the new feel-good energy drink. ACT is all natural, made with vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and antioxidants, so you get the energy you want without the junk that's in those other drinks. ACT feeds your cells, works in 5 to 10 minutes, and lasts for up to 6 hours with no jitters and no crash. You'll feel great all day, just like I did. People from 12 to 80 love ACT. Whether you want your kid drinking a healthier alternative or you're 80 years old and want more get up and go, ACT is diabetic friendly and fits in great with any diet and fitness plan. While you may have seen ACT at various retail locations around town, to buy at a discount or for a free sample, call me, Robin, at 831-818-4144. That's 831-818-4144. Or send me an email, robin@ksco.com. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, this is Dick Manning, owner of Western Gate and Garage Door. I'd like to invite you to give us, the experts at Western Garage Door, a call. Western Garage Door specializes in new and replacement garage doors and openers. With more than 30 years in the construction industry here in the Central Coast, Western Garage Door believes in quality products and good old-fashioned service. We understand that your home is one of your most important assets. Let us help you protect it with a beautiful new sectional door. We offer products you can be proud of, from steel insulated doors to custom wood or steel carriage house doors. We also carry a dent-proof and virtually kid-proof vinyl door. Western Garage Door is a company with experience you can count on. Expect quality. Call Western Gate and Garage Door today at 464-8002. That's 464-8002. Thank you for your time.
What time of year is it? Yes, it's the holidays, but it's also the time of year people start thinking about what they're going to do 6 months from now, be it a vacation or graduation or moving. If they're thinking about making a move with real estate, they'll start thinking about it now, or certainly right after the holidays. Enjoy the holidays now, but if you're thinking about buying or selling a home in the future, call Randy Turnquist at 831-566-2590, or call Randy's private office at 688-8466, or visit KSEO.com and search for Realtor.
Hi, this is Judy DeVilbiss. I think there's something I should tell you about. Bon Soleil. That comes from the Longevity Company. It has a 30 SPF And it's really a great sunscreen. I slather it all over myself, my face, my arms, my legs. You know what? You just can't have that harmful rays on your body. You'll end up in trouble. I mean, it could happen to anyone. Take care of yourself. So Bon Soleil sunscreen, 30 SPF. It's for you. And you know what the best part is? The Longevity Company actually has an after sun gel. Oh, you can't imagine. You come home from that hot beach or hot job, whatever. You're all sunscreened and very safe because you did use your sunscreen. So you get in the shower, you wash everything off, and then when you get out of the shower, you just slip on this wonderful sun gel. It feels fantastic. Come on, give it a try. It's Longevity. It's Dr. Joel Wallach's product, and it's good. Call 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500. Thank you.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the loaded gypsum wheel. I'm back in the saddle again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is your old-time director of accidental operations for KSEO Radio. That means when someone's away, they keep Hartman from straying. They put him down in his chair, and he does the best he can to get the show and go forth. And today I'm going forth with State Senator from the 12th District, Senator Jeff Denham. And if you're on the Central Coast, he is your senator for the state of California, trying to protect your money because you know the other side wants to steal it as fast as they can get their mitts on it. And he is my guest, and I didn't put him on hold, so he should still be on the telephone, right?
Absolutely.
We're going to go to Robert in Sand City, another interested citizen. He wants to ask you a question. Robert, you're on the air. Good morning.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm glad I can get a hold of somebody. I'm a retired military, 73 years old. Was born in the South Pacific. All my kids growing up speaking English. They don't even speak my dialect. And now I come here and live in California, in Monterey, for 30-some years. And I took my grandkids to school, and all I hear the teachers is speaking Spanish. The only English that came out at the end of the program, plus little things that they say up on the stage, was parents that want to remind you, on the corner over here on this left side, we have dollar for this, dollar for that, for donations for the PTA. And this is embarrassing. We're fighting a war today, and it's going to be here forever. Terrorism. And if we don't wake up the people in public places to speak English only, we don't know what the hell they're talking about behind us. They put a bomb in our pocket, in a shopping cart, whatever. So I appreciate, Mr. Senator, please go far enough to see if we can push that. I see people, O'Reilly and somebody else, talking about it, but nobody's pushing the issue.
So you're looking for an English-only amendment to the state constitution.
Sir, none of my kids speak my own dialect.
You know, that's a great question, Robert, because, you know, when I was growing up, and I went to school in the 50s and 60s, when immigrants came to this country and started school, even though they couldn't speak a lick of English when they got here, within 6 months they were carrying on conversations and understanding what was going on. And today it seems like we issue pablum to everyone that comes to this country.
You know how we solve it in the South Pacific, sir?
How?
When we go to school, I start going to school when I was 9 years old to speak English.
Actually, before you say that, Robert, let's get the senator's thoughts, because after all, he's the guest. He's supposed to be the one telling us what's going to happen. Senator, please answer the gentleman's question for him.
Well, Robert, first of all, let me thank you for your service. I spent 16 years in the military, and just really appreciate your service and your commitment to our great nation here. But let me address that question specifically. I believe that the best way to improve opportunities for people that are coming here from a foreign country is to not only assimilate them into our community, but make sure that they can speak our national language, English. We need to have strong English immersion programs, and I just really strongly believe that if you have that immersion, people will not only be able to speak English language quickly, but it'll give them a great advantage in the future, not only finishing school and learning every other subject, but, you know, throughout our society, being able to succeed with better jobs, better pay, and better education opportunities in higher ed as well.
I appreciate that, Senator. Yeah, you know, all that sounds good. But here's what we did in the island so that everybody speaks English. We go to school. We got a PTA meeting every month, the Parents Teachers Association, whatever it is. And I remember everyone that is get caught speaking the dialect in the island in school ground gets fined a penny. And every Saturday when the meeting comes up, the kids' names on there, the parents pay for it. And at the ending of the year school, we have a party. A big party in school. In every school do that. No one speaks the dialect but English. And believe me, it works because it works for me. When I have to, my dad has to pay $5 because they speak the language, I get whipping.
I got to tell you, Robert, a penny's not going to go as far today. We ought to make it at least a buck or two anyway. I appreciate the phone call, and I'll follow up for you with the senator on this topic. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you for your time, sir, and I hope we can hear more about this stuff.
Thank you. Okay, Senator, a couple of things that come to mind. First off, you should tell Robert and our listenership, because I know that there's been an initiative on the ballot several times for English only in the state of California. Who is blocking English only in the state of California?
Well, it's actually receiving less and less resistance because the studies have shown that if you immerse our children in English, then they've got a far greater opportunity to succeed.
Well, that's very diplomatic of you, but there is a core group who is attempting to keep that from ever taking place, and I would just about bet that same core group are probably a part of the group that are trying to throw you out of office.
Yeah, there are still some quite a few extremist groups that still want to push you know, English as a second language programs that are very, very strict within school. They want certainly, you know, for Robert's example, Spanish-only classes. And, you know, I just have a very adamant view that you've got to have that English immersion, and it needs to happen very quickly. I speak Spanish, and the only reason I speak Spanish is because I took an immersion program that I spoke it every day, all day. Like Robert said, you know, you have to – you know, in my case, I had to speak Spanish if I wanted to eat dinner that night.
And you had to speak Spanish in order to be able to. You also had to learn Spanish to speak with a large segment of your constituency.
Absolutely.
But what I'm getting at is, by having multiple languages in our school system, the teachers' unions get extra money for those teachers who speak multiple languages. And they can also discriminate against those teachers who only have one language, which is English. Am I not correct?
No, there are absolutely some incentive systems for multilingual teachers.
So if we did away with dual language instruction and just had immersion programs, we could save the state some money, couldn't we?
We could, but I do believe in incentives, just like you have incentives in business. You should have incentives in our education system, too. And somebody should get paid more if they've got a heavy science background and can pass that science background into our schools. And you know, it's having a special quality. And that's the same thing with foreign languages. Allow those teachers that have those languages that are in great need, paid an incentive, and have them teach our kids. But I believe just like the European countries do, our kids should be able to speak multiple languages, but we have one national language, and that's English. They have to learn that first.
Okay. I appreciate the explanation in that regard. It is 20 minutes till 11 o'clock here on AM 1080 KSCO, AM 1340 KOMY. If you'd like to get a phone call in here to your state senator, Senator Jeff Dunham, give me a call at 831-479-1080, or you can fax us at 831-475-2967. We're going to go back to the phones now. I've still got that public safety question I want to get out there, but I'm going to let you folks talk first. Next up on the line is Mark in Watsonville. Good morning. Welcome to KSCO.
Hi, Senator Denham, I understand the annual operating budget deficit is somewhere between $14 and $16 billion for the state of California. But above that, I'm reading that the unfunded pension obligation for the state for municipal, county, and state workers, the unfunded part right now is running around $114 billion, and the unfunded medical plans for those same workers is running around $66 billion. Now, that's not all due next year, like an annual operating budget, but I think this is a huge economic tsunami coming our way. Can you address that?
No, you're absolutely correct, and that's one thing that most people don't look at. That's certainly one thing that many of the legislators don't look at, because they're looking at a one-year budget, and you know, how do you get out of this year, you know, by doing anything you can, and then worry about next year's problem next year. And that's why I didn't vote for the budget last summer, was because we saw that not only was it unbalanced, but it utilized numbers on the baseline that were not existent. And one of the examples of that is that Indian gaming revenue that's been in our budget the last 2 years is revenue that would help to pay our bills, but we knew that it was never going to be there because it was on the ballot last year. So, you know, without the voters' approval, we knew that we couldn't spend that money and it wasn't real money. But to your point specifically, it is much worse than what it seems. We're talking right now about a $16 billion deficit that, for the first time in California history, for the first time of any state in our nation, we will be in a position where we have no cash flow. And what that means is we will be in a position where we can't pay our bills. And Wall Street will then advocate that they'll demand that we pay our bonds first, that we pay those notes first. And then we start issuing warrants to people around the state. You know, that's not like the situation where we see every summer where the paychecks actually get held up. This will be a warrant that's issued that now banks may or may not take. I mean, it's basically a promissory note. And then next year it gets worse because of the pensions, and it gets worse every year after this unless we have very strong structural reform. The governor's proposal, 10% cut across the board, if it was enacted, would only get us through this year. And then we have a snowball effect of the worsening situation next year with the pensions and other long-term cost effects. So absolutely it's a tsunami. It's a real wake-up call right now that we could make some changes with some very strong leadership. But without strong long-term structural reform, we're not only going to have a huge deficit, but we'll have a devastating situation with our entire budget. So that's why I'm holding strong. 10% across the board cuts don't make sense, and neither does a $5 to $8 billion tax increase that would cost every family in the state just over $2,000 per year. You know, that still doesn't solve our problem because you still have the pension issue that you've got to deal with.
Senator, where are they going to get that $8 billion from specifically? Is it going to be through, increased income taxes, or how are they going to go about doing that?
Right now, the president pro tem is asking for a sales tax increase. But there have been so many different tax proposals this year, it makes your head spin.
And what is the state sales tax at now out of Sacramento, not including the local add-ons?
Not including the local add-ons, I think we're at 6.5. We average about 7.75 throughout the state.
Mark, you got a quick follow-up before I move on?
Well, the annual aspect on this unfunded pension is, I think you guys are budgeting close to $6 billion a year now to cover pensions for retired state public employees. And with the $114 billion obligation that's only growing year by year, this is just going to get larger. And it's just going to take a much bigger chunk of the annual budget.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments, Mark. Senator, I've got a couple more people that evidently we've hit a nerve with the budget. You hit a nerve with the cost of bilingual educations, because Jim in Felton wants to say hello to you, I think.
Sure.
At 14 minutes before 11 o'clock here on AM 1080 KSCO, AM 1340 KOMY. Give us a call if you've got a comment or a question for the senator. He's going to be here another 14 minutes, and if you snooze, you lose. Jim in Felton, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I would like to say that the bilingual lobby is making fools of all of us.
How is that?
Because several times in many different formats, the people of California have spoken loudly, whether that's through Prop 8, 187, or in the recent recall election where that, I forget what that engineer guy's name was, that put that bilingual thing on the ballot. But we strongly put down bilingual education. We want to bring an end to that. And I've read articles about the poorest farmers in India, where they have more than 50 different dialects. In fact, they're not dialects; they're languages all unto themselves. The poorest subsistence farmers in all of India insist that all their children learn and be educated in English. And yet, somehow, we are not able to do that in this country. Hold on, my son is interrupting me. I'm talking on the phone. Okay, so you go over there. Okay. And you know, I've been in California for 33 years, and I can remember when I first came to California that community college education, the state university system, and the University of California were all virtually free, and that the fees were so low that you could actually pay your rent and pay your own fees and buy your school books on one of these service industry jobs in town, because I did it. And now all of that stuff is outrageously expensive, and the thing that I see that's different from 30 years ago is the aftermath of Simpson-Mazzoli and this huge explosion in non-English-speaking, Spanish-speaking-only students. Right now, you can go to the Ed Data website. This is the state's own data that will tell you that 1 in 5 school children, K through 12 in California, speak Spanish but not English. And yet, what I see is tons and tons and tons of jobs for bilingual teachers. It's BS, by the way. It's really Spanish teachers. It's unbelievable. And right here in our very own backyard, and you can verify this for yourself by going to the website, the University of California at Santa Cruz has a master's program in education. That's the only way you can get a teaching credential from the University of California, Santa Cruz. That's the only way. And it's entirely in Spanish. All the applications and all the interviews are in Spanish. And the final arbiter of whether or not you get into that program is whether you pass muster with a native speaker of Spanish. And my kids, I've had kids in public preschools where the standards for speaking English for teachers were lower than the Spanish standards for Spanish. We literally had some teacher's aides and some teachers who were practically speaking pidgin English.
That doesn't surprise me a bit.
And I'm trilingual. My wife is from Latin America, and both my wife and I speak English, Spanish, and Portuguese, and my children have African blood in them. So don't call me. I don't want to be called a racist by anyone.
All right. I appreciate your comments. I'm going to ask the senator to follow up with regards to your thoughts and comments. Senator?
Well, I don't think it's a racial question. I think it's an issue of making sure that every student, every child has the opportunity to succeed in our great nation. And you have to be able to speak our number one language very well to succeed, not only in K through 12, but higher ed and into our job market.
Do we know how many of our K through 12 students are undocumented? What percentage?
No, there are no numbers on that through the education system.
Isn't that funny? No clue by anyone whether a person is in the country legally or not. Just pay for everyone.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a huge expense.
It's got to be for California.
Well, let me throw out some numbers here real quickly and let your listeners decide what the cause of the numbers are. But Prop 98 spending for K through 12 in 2008 and 09 will be over $7.4 billion higher than it was 5 years ago. And that's at a time while daily attendance during the same period is going to fall by 74,000 students. So we are increasing our spending at a great rate, which I very strongly believe in. I believe we still lag behind the rest of the nation and need to spend more there.
But at the very same time, during that same time period, reading, we went from 45th in the nation in 2003. We're now down to 48th in the nation. So it's fallen behind. A lot of that, I feel, has to do with bilingual education, and that is being phased out now, but it's not being phased out quick enough.
You know, folks, the senator's only going to be with us another 9 minutes, and I'm going to reserve the last three of it for myself. So I've got three callers left on the line. I want you to make your comments, get your question out there. I'll give you a quick time for follow-up, but let's be quick. Bob in Sunset Beach, good morning. Welcome to AM 1080 KSCO. Bob. Well, let me hit Bob's button again. Bob?
I can hear you, but I'm not.
There you go. You're on the air, Bob.
Hi. I did a little research on the CDE, California Department of Education website, just recently, and there are about 6.1 million children in the school system. There are 1,366,000 non-English-speaking students. Of those, 85% of them are non-English-speaking Spanish.
So we're looking at about 25%.
Yes, and they spend $11.6 billion to educate that 1,366,000 non-English-speaking Spanish children.
$11 billion?
$11.6 billion. You can look
Senator, there's your deficit.
And I can say thank you to the poor enforcement of our border. We are spending a whole lot of money on folks we are by law required to educate. Thank you, 1982 Supreme Court decision. You provide a free education to every student, whether they're illegal or not. That's the end of my comment.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Senator.
It's staggering numbers. I mean, it's an issue that we have to get over, that we have to solve. You know, I'm working with members of Congress to make sure that California changes not only our border policy but our immigration policy, because it affects every part of our budget. It affects our public safety system with the large number of illegal immigrants in our prison. Certainly our health care system, which is crumbling because of the illegal aliens that continue to utilize our hospitals, and as you just heard, those numbers from our education system. So it affects every part of our budget. It's something that we have to get our hands on. It's a federal issue, but it's an issue that, you know, states' rights, each state is going to come up with their own immigration policy if the federal government doesn't do it itself. I'm surprised we haven't done it already, but I would expect over the next year, if whatever the new administration is, if they don't solve our immigration policy quickly, you'll see California, I believe, it's going to be forced or will be bankrupt to figure out our own immigration policy, shut down our own borders, and put our own police force, our own National Guard, on those borders on a permanent basis. We've got to do something.
Now,
it'll kill our economy.
The liberal left said, there's no way you can move 20 million people out of the United States, all of these illegals. Is that a wives' tale? Or is that the truth? It seems to me that if you put employers on the spot and you put social services on the spot, that they would have to leave. I don't know. Tell me.
Would have to leave or go through a legalization process?
You know, I want them to go home before they come back. I don't want them to get first cuts in line. I want them to go back and start at the end of the line and let those people that have been waiting, who desperately want to come here and have followed the rules, to be able to come first.
Absolutely, through a legal process.
Exactly.
But I do believe that the very first thing that we have to do is stop the bleeding. We have to shut down our borders first and make sure that our borders are secure, so that anybody starting to come in right now today is coming in legally.
Okay. I got a couple more phone calls here. Who's been waiting the longest here? Gene in Salinas. I would like to say good morning to KSCO Radio and Senator Jeff Dunham.
Yes. Jeff's a great guy. I've been following him since he was scratching on the door trying to get in.
Quickly, sir.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
What has happened to the property, excess property that you were working on It's been a while now. Has anything progressed on that? The excess property, remember you wanted to sell it, put it up for sale to the public?
It's a great point. I think it fits right into what the first caller asked about as far as accountability. It's something that I focused on from day one. I believe very strongly that we need to be selling off many of the properties that we don't use or don't have a state justification for and utilize that money to reduce our debt.
Yes, I understand that. But how are we doing on that?
Well, we've made some progress. You know, we had 50,000 vehicles that were off the books when I started. I passed a bill. We've now got accountability of those vehicles and have shut down many of the warehouses that housed them, the parking garages, and sold those off. But we can do much better. I mean, there's a great opportunity to sell off a half a dozen golf courses that are state-owned. The L.A. Coliseum, the Cow Palace, the San Quentin, the oldest prison that we have. I mean, we could solve our deficit by selling off a lot of these. So far, I think we've just scratched the surface. But over 10% of our budget goes to just paying interest. Credit card debt that we've racked up that, you know, any family or business would go out of business with that much interest that we pay. And if we sell off these properties, we could certainly solve our deficit. So I believe we've made some great strides, but we need to go much, much further because I do think that selling off those properties that we don't use that are actually a liability to our state could be our saving grace.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, Gene. Sorry I had to cut you off, but I'm running down to my three-minute period. I'm going to let Roy sneak right in here from Watsonville. Good morning, Roy. Welcome to AM 1080 KSCO and the Senator.
Thank you, Steve. You need your own remote program from Montana. Jeff, excuse me, thank you for your service. Quick question on the budget. Is this 10% cut a 10% cut in the current fiscal year's budget, or is it a 10% cut in the increase?
It would be a 10% a cut in what would be next year's budget.
So that would be with the increases already in place. So that would be really a whatever, the increase minus 10%. So it would be like a 4% cut or a
2%. If your question is how much of it would be a real cut, it would be about 2% because we're projected about an 8% growth. So if we put a freeze, if we just froze all spending right now, we would have to make about a 2% cut across the board.
So it's really only going to be a 2% cut.
Yes. But, I just don't believe in across-the-board cuts. I mean, there are some areas that we do have increased costs that we're going to have to spend more money.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Having the governor, talk about releasing 22,000 prisoners, I think is wrong.
Yeah, no, that's madness. The other thing is, briefly, I know you're running out of time.
Oh, come on. You're stealing my time, Roy. Call back next hour. Go ahead.
The whole thing with the bilingual is it's immersion. My wife was Spanish-speaking from her childhood. Her parents spoke English, but they spoke Spanish in the home. She learned at school. That's the way to do it. The way to solve the education problem in the state is to allow vouchers. And you'll see a big turnaround quick, and the good teachers will be there, and all the buildings will be utilized. So people that are listening, get a spine. Let's get a vouchers program going. Don't listen to the crybabies from the left that have ruined our education. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Roy. Thank you for giving me my moment and a half. Senator, local governments are screaming for more taxes in every area they can think of. I don't care whether it's utility taxes or enterprise taxes or pothole taxes. They keep coming after us, and every single time they threaten to cut police, fire, and essential services. There is a section of the California Constitution that says they're not supposed to be able to do that, yet they jump on us and do it every single time. Is there any way to reinforce that part of the Constitution that demands that no cuts go to police, fire, and essential services before the fat stuff is cut?
I think that there would have to be a new law to actually to press that issue. But I do think that there are things that can be done right now today. I believe all politics is local, and the best way to get involved is get involved with your city council and board of supervisors. And let them know that you want to see other areas cut before...
But they don't listen to us. We're just the local people. They are the academic brouhahas who control our city and county government as a direct result of academia. So the local people really don't have a say as to whether they're getting shafted or not. That is our problem. We've got too many people from the outside who have a right to vote in places where they shouldn't be voting to begin with. They should be voting back at home where they're getting their tax break instead of here in our community to keep us from being able to chart our own course for the future.
Well, just listening to all of your callers today, you have some callers that are well-informed, are very active, and these are the same people that need to be active at a city council meeting. I've been one at the state level that has continued to talk about the crazy spending, the waste that's out there in government, whether it's our state properties and golf courses that shouldn't be owned by the state, or properties in Hawaii and Tahiti that we have no business owning. And I'm just one voice in the Senate, but there are millions of voices around the state that could be at every city council meeting, that could be writing letters to the editor and voting out those people that aren't representing your views. I'd ask everybody to get involved, because it's important.
Especially
at a time when they're trying to recall me for standing on my principles. It's the first time in California history, and I hope that people will wake up and realize what's at stake here.
Senator, we've run over on the hour. I don't know who said it, but I'm reminded by the quote that I read a little while ago that we'll go halfway around the world to fight a war to save a country, yet we won't cross the street to cast a vote. And how true that seems to be, that we don't have enough participation to be able to get the full citizen input. I want you to give me your website before we say goodbye so that people can read up on you and find out your positions, as well as more information about the recall. So please take a moment to do that, and then I'll cut you free and we'll get to whatever news is left.
It's joinwithjeff.com. Joinwithjeff.com. I'd encourage you to get on our website. See what we're fighting for, see what this whole recall issue is about, and give us a hand. This is coming up in June 3rd election, which incidentally is the same exact time that a budget is supposed to be crafted and coming out. And there's a whole push to not only take me out, but take me out and then put in somebody that will be a strong vote for tax increases. So go to joinwithjeff.com, and I'd love to hear from you.
I really appreciate you joining me this morning, since I'm the stuck guy who was looking for a little help to get through it. You did it nicely. You were also able to contact your constituency, and I appreciate it. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Steve Hartman. It is 2.5 minutes past 11 o'clock. We are going to join the news in progress. Coming up the next hour, we'll be talking more taxes, this time on the local scene. I think it's time to say, take it away, Nikki.
Americans to keep the troops in mind.
On Easter, we remember especially those who have given their lives for the cause of freedom. These brave individuals have lived out the words of the gospel. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Democratic Senator Robert Menendez had his party's rebuttal.
When it comes to honoring and supporting our troops, Democrats and Republicans stand as one. But when it comes to the decisions that got us into the war and the flawed policies that keep us there, Democrats stand firmly apart from our Republican friends.
Three more U.S. troops lost their lives in a roadside bomb incident northwest of Baghdad, that explosion hitting their passing patrol vehicle. Another bow and curtsy in the diplomatic minuets over North Korea's nuclear program.
South Korea's foreign minister, Yoo Myung-hwan, says the North must act soon over its pledge to declare what nuclear programs it has, because it believes the U.S. government doesn't have much time to focus on the issue. And he's warning Pyongyang negotiations will have to start from scratch if there's a new administration in the U.S. Speaking in Beijing, he also urged China to help speed up the negotiations. Arguments over what nuclear programs North Korea has to declare and eventually proved to have dismantled has held up a six-nation deal. Washington says Pyongyang hasn't fully accounted for all its programs, but it has said it gave a full list back in November. In the Asia Bureau, David Piper, Fox News Radio.
In London, hundreds of people marching through the center of the city in solidarity with the people of Tibet. who have been protesting Chinese rule. Many exiled Tibetans were in the crowd, waving Tibetan flags, chanting "Long live the Dalai Lama" and "Chinese out." The second round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament gets going this afternoon. Duke and West Virginia meet in the first matchup at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080 on this Saturday, March 22nd. I'm Nikki James with your Central Coast forecast for today. We've got sunny skies with a high of 69 degrees, north-northwest winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. And tonight it will be partly cloudy with a low around 43 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today. North winds 5 knots, becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. The wind waves will be 1 to 3 feet. Northwest swell 4 to 8 feet at 12 seconds. Current temperatures around the bay. Monterey is 56 degrees. Salinas is 53. Watsonville 54. And here at KSCO Studios, we're at 57 degrees. The official time is 11:06 on this Saturday, March 22nd. This is KSCO 1080. And I'm Nikki James. Let's get back to Steve Hartman, the Saturday special.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call.
Start hour number 1 3/4. Okay, so I didn't get much of a break, but, you know, I begged for coffee in the first hour, and not one of you good listeners out there was able to see their way clear to head down Portola Avenue to bring poor old Steve a cup of coffee. So I am suffering. I am really, really suffering. No thanks to you. And no thanks to Miss Nikki either, who took the last cup of coffee here. Fortunately, I have my commit lozenges, so it's almost like having a cigarette, which I haven't had since March of 2006, but I'll be hooked on the nicotine for life, no doubt. Anyway, I couldn't help, but, you know, in the morning when I wake up in Montana, the first place I visit is the Santa Cruz Sentinel website. Because I like to know what kind of foul goings-on are happening to all my friends here on the Central Coast. And when I say my friends, it's because, as you heard in the last hour when I said they shouldn't be voting here anyway, and no doubt some of you who are not my friends are saying, what kind of a statement is that? That guy must be a communist. My point is that academia and the student vote in both Santa Cruz and probably to a great extent in Seaside and Marina is from outside Santa Cruz. And thousands upon thousands of these children of parents who are getting hefty dependent exemption tax breaks from our federal government are allowed to come to our communities and vote in our elections without one single bit of responsibility. They are living here, interfering in our lives as long-term tourists, while their parents in Phoenix, Arizona to New York City are getting hefty tax breaks. So the parents don't have to put up with them at home, so they've got great consequences. And the kids don't have to put up with their parents because they're not at home, so they have no consequences to speak of other than to receive that family allotment every month.
Steve.
What?
When did you stop smoking cancerettes? I mean, I didn't know that you stopped smoking cancerettes.
Wow. It's a serial caller. How did you get on the air?
My secret.
Son of a gun. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, the boss is on the phone.
But, Stevie.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe, I mean, this is wonderful. You stopped smoking cancerous? I didn't know that.
March of 2006, I quit.
Way to go. God, that's amazing. That's like 2 years.
It is.
And you're not tricking.
I'm not tripping.
I have not
picked up a single solitary cigarette and smoked it because I have these commit lozenges, which pump and the generic that I get from Wally World, that give me the nicotine I need without putting the tar in my lungs.
Oh.
You see? So
golly
now instead geez. Of having cigarette breath, I have nice and minty breath. I even breathed on Nikki and she didn't fall over. Anyway, I would like to just quickly get this thought out before these folks forget what I was saying with regards to consequences. My feeling is, and you all know election law. Certainly those of you who have signed petitions in the past locally know election law. If you leave your domicile and establish a new domicile, you also voluntarily abandon the old domicile. So here's my thinking. If a student wants to come to Santa Cruz and register to vote, I say that's fine. Let them vote. However, if you register to vote in Santa Cruz, you have abandoned your former domicile. And if you have abandoned your home, and if you are 18 years old, which makes you a legal adult, your parents are no longer entitled to a tax exemption for your sorry little butt. If you want to continue to register at your home of record and put yourself out as a member of that family unit, then your parents can give you all the money they want as long as you're voting back where your parents are getting that tax deduction. But if you want to come here and screw up my community with your stupid vote and not suffer the consequences that I have to suffer as a result of your stupid vote, and you still want to be a dependent from your parents back in wherever you came from, that's wrong. And it needs to be fixed. It doesn't need to just be fixed in Santa Cruz. It needs to be fixed in the state of California, and it needs to be fixed in the United States of America so that everybody has equal consequences for their voting actions. Now that I've said it, fine. Thank you very much. Boss, what do you have to say today? I'm having a great time.
I think
time.
That's a great idea, and I thought it was a great idea when you first advanced it several years ago on KSCO. And, you know, I know how politically active you are. I know you've talked about that with many politicos.
I had a senator that was going to push this bill for me.
Wow.
His senator was Conrad Burns, the Republican senator from the great state of Montana.
Uh-huh.
And his staff was busy for 2 years calling me back and forth. What do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do now? I said, when's the senator going to do something? He never did anything. So when he lost his reelection by 1,200 votes statewide, I just had to send him an email that said, you should have listened to me. Too bad. You lose. Yeah. Unfortunately, the rest of us lose, too.
Well, you know, I wish that KSCO had a far greater reach than it does.
Well, you can buy me a remote mic, and I'll pump it into Montana.
Okay. I'd be more than happy to do that, Steve. But wait a minute. Maybe we can get you on the O'Reilly Factor or something like that, where you can get that, Bill would interview you and get it out over, you know, to millions of people, like in one fell swoop.
Well, certainly Bill can take the O'Reilly chopper and fly to Lincoln, Montana.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he needs to. I mean, I don't think he'll do that. But I do think that there's a good chance that, Brian Maloney is on the O'Reilly Factor quite frequently. You know, one of our ex-talk show hosts.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, of course you know. And so, in fact, and Brian is pretty tight with Rush Limbaugh himself. And you know Brian, so maybe you know, through Rush either one of them or both would help you get that idea out, you know, to millions and millions of people and start a movement. You know, if you have a lazy senator who doesn't do what he says he's going to do, you know, that's probably not the best way of doing it anyhow because,
Well, unfortunately, they cut their own throats. Yeah, at least when at least when there was some Republican control in Congress, there was a chance to enact some sort of legislation to make it fair for the people in these university communities.
Yeah.
But now that the left is in charge, there's no hope at all. So
I'll tell you, I'll see if I can get in touch with somebody at Fox News Channel, you know, and or maybe someone on the staff, on O'Reilly's staff, because I think this is something for him.
Hey, I'm ready to go.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
I'm ready to go. Thanks, boss.
Hey, you bet.
Now, wait a minute. Before you go, you have property in the county, but not the city.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this new idea of a pothole tax?
Oh, God. You know, are you just talking about that now? Or
I'm going to start talking about the pothole tax, and I also want to talk about desalinization, $40 million for a part-time water plant.
I don't know that you're aware. We did the Saturday special from a cruise ship last week, and I had a blast, and I hope the audience enjoyed it. I hope they found it interesting. And one of the things is that all cruise ships that I know of have onboard desalinization plants.
And they have potholes?
No. No. But, you know, that's a fascinating subject that I'd really like to, you know, sink our teeth into here if we
could.
Well,
you want me to save that part for when you come back next
week?
Well,
no, whatever. I don't know anything about the pothole tax, except it sounds like, you know, potholes should be fixed with the taxes that they have. You know, but
I concur. I think it's essential services, and that's why I hit the senator up on it in the last hour, although I couldn't get too specific because I'd already run into the news, and I apologize.
Well, anyhow, yeah, if you want, I can hang out with you for a little bit, or I can hang up or whatever and listen to you on the...
Oh, you can hang up. You can hang up, okay. Hang out.
All right.
You can stay right where you are.
You decide.
Let's see who has been on the line the longest here. Bob in Santa Cruz wants to say something, so let's invite him to join us, as with the rest of you listeners out there, if you'd like to get in and make some comments about the crunch you feel because of taxes in your area. And I don't care whether you're in Monterey, Central Valley, over here in North Santa Cruz County. You've got a problem with local taxes. We'd like to hear about it. We'd like to hear your thoughts about it. Give us a call, 831-479-1080. If I see that the phone lines are filled up, I'll give you another number you can call. But you are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO in Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY.
Not really.
Watsonville for that?
1340 isn't simulcasting. That's got an oldies format on it.
It's not simulcast. Did it simulcast the first hour?
Mm-mm.
So I've been stupid for 2 hours instead of just one. Bob in Santa Cruz, good morning and welcome to AM 1080 KSCO.
Steve, it's Bob Scharfenstein.
Hi, Bob Scharfenstein.
What are you doing? Hey, you left out one part on the UCSC vote thing. Not only do these clowns come in and vote, screw up the community, but then they get to leave after they've screwed it up.
It's kind of like shoot and run, huh?
Yeah, hey, tell Michael, not only on the cruise ships.
Michael can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, hi there, Bob.
They've been, not only on cruise ships do they have desalination things, but they do take on water. They'll go into places like when I went to Puerto Rico, fill up with water, and then run that through their desalination plant also. Besides running the salt water.
You know, we could fill up on water. All we need is a dam.
Yeah, exactly.
Gee, what a concept, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Steve, I got a question for you.
Ask me.
Do you think if a white minister went on TV and said what Reverend Wright said about the black community, you think CNN, otherwise known as the Clinton News Network, would just go, that's okay, what are we talking about this for?
No, I don't think so at all.
I don't think so either. I think you stand a good chance of getting O'Reilly on.
But here's the point, though, with regards to Obama and his minister. Okay? What will the black community think if Obama loses because of the comments by that black minister?
Exactly. On the other hand, if they backdoor their way in and Hillary win this election, they'll be lucky if they get five black voters to vote for anybody on that side.
Well, actually, as I said the other day, in fact, if Obama were to get elected, he would be the second black president of the United States.
That's right.
Because of the first year series of 24, when we had Dennis Haspert as president, David Palmer.
Correct.
And he was magnetic, he was strong, forceful, and good-looking, too. And I think half of America, the TV drones, are saying, well, of course David Palmer was a great president. Why can't Obama be a great president, too? As dumbed down as American society is today, in fact, I read an interview where Haspert said that people actually thought he was President David Palmer.
Well, that's camping on the outside of reality. There's a lot of that. But hey, Steve-O, you know, it's funny because...
Come on, I got callers here. Let's...
Okay, I'll make it quick. The cartoon, did either you or Michael see the cartoon in the Sentinel yesterday? Which I rarely read, by the way.
Did not.
It showed a picture of Hillary in bed with Bill saying, how could anybody stay with such a reprehensible man for 20 years? It was great.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. We're going to, yes, Michael.
No, I just said see you, Bob.
Oh, see you, Bob. Yeah. Thanks for the phone call from Santa Cruz. Now let's go to Roy in Watsonville.
I think it's Rory.
Steve, thanks again. I'll keep it quick. Your national campaign slogan for this issue with the students voting here.
Yes.
And they're being taken as a tax exemption elsewhere is no more representation without taxation. That's your slogan.
That's a mighty long slogan.
Just saying no representation without taxation. It was the opposite problem the columnists had. They had taxation without representation. These guys were getting representation without taxation. We get the problem.
I like it.
I think you got a winner.
I might have a winner.
On a national.
I haven't had a winner in a long time, I gotta tell you. I've been called a winner a few times, but I've never had a real victory. Not since Mo Reisch, I think.
Steve, your hiatus in Montana has prepared you for a national campaign.
Really?
You think, huh? Maybe I should run for office in Montana. At least people think the same way I do there.
Well, yeah, run for senator. Steve for senator. Come on. I mean, what else are you doing with your time?
Please, I'm.
Besides Senator Harmer's.
I have projects.
Besides, that's got a nice ring to it.
Hey, you know,
what's
poor
that?
Nikki.
What's that, Mike?
This gal Nikki is a great board operator, but she is running her tail off today.
Because of the calls.
I guess.
All right, remember, Steve, no representation without taxation.
I got it.
All right.
Thanks, Rory. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Carl in Aptos has been waiting a long time, too. He wants to talk about voting changes on registration. Good morning, Carl. Welcome to KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, a couple different things. One, you know the old saying, strike while the iron's hot?
Yes.
It's bothered me for a while that you can cross parties to vote because, you know, that works. It's a two-way street. And it worked in some ways for the Democrats early on to pick a more liberal Republican. But now with what Russia's doing, it's working the other way. And so if you're able to get some kind of traction, if you are able to get exposure on this, there's a couple of things that I think are real important that that you might have the other side of the aisle take a look at seriously instead of rejecting it outright. The fact of no crossover. You know, I'm independent, and I'll vote one way or the other, but usually conservative. But if I can't vote in the primary, that's the way it goes. I've chosen that. Anyway, so I think they might be more interested in that right now because of what's happened with Operation Chaos. So that's one issue. The other one is, even though we're voting for national candidates, sometimes there's not a standard on ID. My son moved from here to Nashville years ago, and for years, he was still listed on the voting records.
Yeah.
And I could have voted twice. I could have come early in the morning and then later in the day and dressed differently and voted twice. And I wonder how many people do things like that.
Well, wouldn't you have to show your son's ID?
No. That's the deal. I make a point when I go, I always whip out my ID to make a point. They go, no. It's like a vampire looking at a cross or something. You know, they go, no, we don't need to see that. And in California, I asked the registrar of voters.
That's unbelievable.
It's illegal. You cannot ask for ID. So it's different states. Some states you have to, other ones you cannot. When the Republicans wanted to prevent voter fraud in some states, the Democratic Party says, well, you're discriminating against poor people. And they said, well, you have to have ID. And they said, well, maybe they can't go down. And they said, we will drive out to the house. We will pay the fees for them, even if they're Democrats, so everybody has ID so we can get this. And so you know your vote is solid. So I don't want to see fraud by preloaded voting machines. I don't want to see fraud by dead people. I want the actual election, whatever it is.
On the other hand, Carl, by jumping parties, particularly in the primary, basically what you're saying is, I feel more strongly about stopping this candidate for this party than I do about supporting this candidate for this party who may have already run and won his elected position. In the case of McCain, he'd already won for these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically you're saying it is important for me to try to stop this person. So in exercising my right and free speech that I feel so passionately about stopping this person, that this is what I want to do, how can you fault the person for doing that?
It's a two-way street, and we're picking a candidate for the party. We ended up, I'm really not nuts about McCain. I don't think that's a good choice, but, you know.
But what you're saying is then, you have to be a member of this party in order to vote for that person, regardless of the fact that that person is going to have control over people who don't want to be a part of that party.
Only in the nominating issue. And I've chosen that myself. I've gone independent knowing, well, it used to be, that I could not vote for a Republican. Now I can pick. And I voted Democrat at this time.
And as a citizen, knowing that the two parties are going to field the two candidates most likely to become president, barring something like a Bloomberg jumping into the race as an independent, you have to also think to yourself, I have to hope that the two best candidates get on the ballot so that even if my candidate loses, I'm stuck with the best of what the other side's got to offer.
Yeah, but see, that's a wicked game. And so if you want to have some changes, what I'm saying is, the way Congress is now, say you're able to get some exposure and say you're able to get some traction on it, unless you get the other side of the aisle to say, this is a pretty good idea, it's not going anywhere. So the fact is, the iron is hot now. They're concerned about what's going on with this process. And this is a great time to do several different changes, I think.
Well, perhaps. In my own heart, I think I would trust Obama as president far more than I could ever trust a Hillary.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I love what Obama has done to rally people who have had a deaf ear to politics for so long.
Yeah,
I love the
yeah.
fact that he has increased participation. And let's face it, the guy's pretty dynamic.
He is.
I would never vote for him, but I love what he's doing for the country in that regard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's why I voted in the primary for him, because he was more interesting, you know, and I sure don't trust Hillary. But, if I was a football coach and I was calling the plays for the other team, what the heck is that? Or I'm picking the other team's quarterback, I think each team needs to do the best they can, feel the ideas, and the dirty games thing, it's just the whole thing about who's supposed to vote. What are you picking? Let's discuss the issues, and let's really play according to the rules and see what can happen. Now, there's enough dirty stuff going on as there is. And I'd like to get some good discussion. I like to talk to people on both sides of the issue, and that's what we need, not just...
Okay.
You know?
I appreciate the comments. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. You betcha. Thank you so much for calling. You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO in Santa Cruz. We've got about a half hour and a minute left. I think my... lovely board operator back there wants to take a break. Is that a fact?
That's a fact. Let's do it.
Well, let's do it. We'll be right back.
Do cats really have 9 lives? Is it true that cows have 4 stomachs? Hey, have you ever wondered why dogs, cats, horses, and other critters have a third eyelid? Well, now you can get the answer to these and all your questions about pets and farm animals. All you need to do is pick up the phone and ask the vet. Hi, I'm Dr. Pete Kiesling, host of Dr. Pete's Pet Puree, and I'll be taking your calls every Sunday at 1. Dr. Pete's Pet Puree, Sunday at 1, right here on AM 1080 KSCO.
For several months now, you've heard the commercials for Santa Cruz Tile and Stone here on KSCO. Now you can go to the KSCO.com website and click on the yellow box and see their fabulous showroom and their great products and services. If you're thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom, then you need to visit Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. And you'll also find Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, Phoenix Spas, and Gazebos at the lowest prices in Santa Cruz County. And remember, Phoenix Spas and Gazebos are the only ones built in Northern California. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or your new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292 or visit them by going to ksco.com and click on the yellow box. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
Dave Allen here. Yes, the Nighthawk rehatched. Sundays at 4 p.m. Yep, the Nighthawk returns. With me, your host, Dave Allen. Eclectic and esoteric conversation. Positive and lively. 4 p.m. Sundays.
Dave Allen.
4 p.m. Sundays.
Dave Allen.
4 p.m. Sundays.
Dave Allen. Going off.
Yes. Spread the word and join me on AM 1080 KSCO Sunday at 4.
You got it. That's it.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hi there, the Radio Rabbi here, and on the show, Monday evenings from 6 to 7, we look at life from a different angle. Life issues, community matters, current events, and most importantly, your calls. Life is full of moral quandaries and such, and we try to tackle them from the 3,000-year-old tradition of Jewish wisdom and experience. So get out your calendars and jot it down. The Radio Rabbi Show, Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. on 1080 KSCO.
As a Central Coast grower, you face many risks every day. Hi, I'm Craig Dean with DCD Insurance Services here in Santa Cruz. A good way to manage risk is with Allied Group Farm Insurance Plans. DCD and Allied, a nationwide company, will insure your farm, crops, property, and vehicles for some of the most competitive rates available. So call us at DCD Insurance Services, 800-347-6145, or visit dcdis.com. Remember, DCD and Allied Nationwide are always on your side. Get the insurance attention you need. Hi, I'm Craig Dean of DCD Insurance Services here in Santa Cruz. You will get the personal attention you deserve with DCD and Allied's premier service. DCD and Allied will keep your car, home, and business covered 24 hours a day, every day, and will give you the attention you need when you need it. Call DCD Insurance Services at 800-347-6145 or visit at dcdis.com. Remember, DCD and Allied Nationwide are always on your side.
Just about a half hour left to go here on AM 1080 KSCO's Saturday special. My name is Steve Hartman, your former director of accidental operations, joined by way of cyberspace and telephone lines, perhaps, with the boss. Michael Zwirling is here with us this morning.
Steve, you'll always be the director, not the former, but the current and forever.
You know what really hurt my feelings, Michael, is what? I told people that I was a talk show host with a great station on the West Coast. And if you don't believe me, just go to the website and look, I'm there. And they went, and I have been so wronged. My biography and picture have been ripped from the cyber pages of KSCO Radio. Never more to be listed as the director of accidental operations for KSCO.
It wasn't me. It wasn't I.
Yep.
You're going to have to. Yep. We're going to have to get to. No, you're
out of sight, out of mind. You guys just did it to me. Also, you know, for an hour and a half, almost an hour, about an hour and 15 minutes, I made Nikki feel so guilty for drinking the last cup of coffee at the station. And so I put out a plea for KSCO listeners, someone in the area to have the heart, the sensitivity, to bring me a hot cup of coffee.
And did someone do it or more than one?
Somebody did it.
Oh.
Somebody brought me a cup of coffee. And poor Nikki, she had begged to let her make me a special cup of coffee. And they both arrived at the same time. So naturally, I drank hers first because she can mess me up a lot more than that other person could. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. I've got a dear friend, a man who has stood by my side fighting battle after battle for the city of Santa Cruz. Westside Al is on the phone. Good morning, Westside Al, and thank you for having patience with me today.
Hey, walking wounded dittos, brother.
Good morning.
Hey, Michael Z, you're back from that South Pacific cruise. I trust you're nice and fit and tan and rested.
Rested, yes. Fit, no.
a little tan now.
But you know what? I only gained about 3 pounds, which is a record.
It's so probably that desalinated water you were drinking.
Well, you know, I went on a really serious diet ahead of time for about a month and was able to lose, I think, 13 pounds.
Wow.
And I put 3 of them back, but I still got to drop a bunch more, you know.
So you lost the weight so you could enjoy the fine food, right?
No, I lost the weight. Well, that's part of the reason, but, you know, it's so easy to get for weight to get out of hand.
Now, are you going to get? You know? Are you going to join the Pajaronian weight loss contest?
Oh,
you could win $1,000. I heard something about that the other day. Yeah, you got to get back here and sign in.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll look into that.
You're a sponsor, I think.
Before you weigh in, Michael, make sure you eat a lot of food and drink a lot of water so you get a big weight to start with, and then you can lose that all just by taking a bowel movement.
Okay, WSA, that sounds good.
Okay, listen, I got some semi-breaking news for both of you guys. You remember the Neri Lagoon housing project and all the brouhaha went into them getting that up?
Yes.
Sure.
Well, there's a mutual acquaintance of all of ours who has been a reentry student at UCSC and is now in her senior year and is engaged in a project where she discovered some Coastal Commission reports that do declare that the city of Santa Cruz did, in fact, encroach on 8-point-some acres of considered wetland to build that place. But since it was already a done deal, they didn't raise any stink about it.
Ooh.
So now, guess who's going to be raising the stink about it?
Who?
The same people that put it in.
Our aforementioned acquaintance that once ran for the city council.
Are you going to tell us who?
Well, put it together. It's right after we did the recall. She worked with us on that, and then she ran for city council a year or two later.
Well, I could sing a song if it would help you out. Don't say you don't remember, but I don't.
Well, her name is Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine Stockett.
That's right.
Oh, what has she been doing? You need to get her in to find out the big scoop there, Michael.
What a nice lady she is.
Well,
yeah.
She's doing well, and as you remember, she was one of the main opposition figures to that project.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result of that, when she put her name as a single parent of 2 children on the list to be considered for occupancy there, she was pretty much shoved to the bottom of the pile every time she got to the top of the pile.
Because of her politics, huh?
Paybacks.
Yeah.
A couple other things I thought you might be interested in. From a Sentinel editorial yesterday regarding job growth in Santa Cruz and in the state of California, let me read you 4 sentences. If you look at the bottom line of Santa Cruz County employment over the last year, you might be inclined to give it a not bad. With the word recession being uttered more frequently, you can put a positive spin on a 2.6% rise in job growth. But what gives us pause are the numbers in state and local government employment. Over the last year, local government employment has increased 12.3%, while the state government has increased 9.8%. Now, in your last hour, you spoke about the cost of educating immigrant children that do not speak English at $11.6 billion per year. That would just about take care of the current budget deficit, but if you added in the fact that we add on all these government jobs, I'll bet we would have a surplus and not a
deficit. Stop, Al. Stop. You're giving me gas pains.
Well, now, you know, I'll tell you what. With a 2.6 rise in overall job growth in Santa Cruz County, but 12.8% increase in government, it looks to me like private sector jobs actually shrank.
Ooh.
So
never thought of that. Why don't you pose that question in a comment on the online edition of the Sentinel?
Well, you know, maybe so. But, you know, if you want to know where the center of the tumor is, it's right here all around us. And then we got...
I told you, like a cancer spreading around the Monterey Bay. But everybody said, don't listen to Hartman. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, I agreed with you all along. That's why we worked together so many times. Now, here's my final thoughts are on the stupidest, best example of why this city is in such terrible shape. It's because of their decision-making process that culminates in something like a desal plant that, in the end, although they predict costs of $40 million, I'll bet with construction products going up around the world, it's going to be a $100 million project, and it's only to be used during times of drought.
Part-time use.
Yeah, and this is because they didn't want to use any kind of catchment method to get the water while it was still fresh before it got out into the ocean and turned salt. And now they're going to take it back out of the ocean and make it fresh again.
And once again, I must remind people who have been here long enough to remember, what would life be like if we had Ziani Dam?
And at the cost it was back then, Steve, you realize how much that's gone up?
We would be sitting in bliss right now without huge utility tax increases, because everything is passed on through.
And what would life be like if Blood Alley had been straightened and expanded and widened, Highway 17. Would life be... That's a topic for a whole Saturday special.
I think
Would life be better or would life be worse?
The only problem is, are the experts...
If Highway 17 had been straightened and widened.
The only problem is, will the experts still be alive to guest on the show?
Well, those quality of life.
You know, Patton has always been willing to come on. We haven't asked him for a few years, but he was on... he was on, what, 3 or 4 years ago, I guess? I don't know if you remember that.
Well, I hope you bring forth an opposing position.
We got plenty of them on staff.
Oh, there you go.
And in our whole audience.
Hey, Al, I want to thank you, but I do have to move on.
I know that. I'll see you later. Bye.
Appreciate it. West Side Al from the west side of Santa Cruz.
Steve,
makes sense
to
me.
I'm really pleased that you still consider Santa Cruz your community, even though you don't live here.
Well, I've got five generations. I mean, the family goes back to about 1872, Michael.
Yeah.
I am seriously considering selling out in the city of Santa Cruz over the next couple months.
Now?
I'll make that decision.
Wait till it turns around.
Well, the city of Santa Cruz is never going to be hurt the way the rest of the county is, because we know we've got another, 9,000 students that are going to be here in no time at all. We're going to 20,000 in the next 6 years. They've got to have housing for them.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting in an area that's due for redevelopment. Cayuga Street's already been approved for redevelopment. They just got to find the money to do it. I think it's a great time. It's also a great time to buy something else.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sure,
and
sure.
I would
what to do with that.
And I would probably be looking for a nice little cabin up in Boulder Creek where my roots are. And, at least to have home to come home to die. Gotta think of dying. And I'm my ashes will be spread right out here off the Santa Cruz Wharf, no doubt about it. Me and Gilda, we're going to go together, you know. So, anyway, let's get back to the phone calls instead of reminiscing so much. If you'd like to get in, I've got three callers here now, but we've got another 16 minutes left. It's 16 minutes before noontime here on AM 1080 KSCO. Our next caller up has been waiting for, oh, my goodness, I hate to say it, 21 minutes. Tammy in Santa Cruz, I apologize, but welcome to the program.
I love hearing your voice, Steve. No problem.
Thank you,
when
darling.
I first heard you, I was like, who is that famous person? I know I've heard that voice before. And then I heard it was you. I was like, oh, thank God. I'm glad to hear your voice. And I'm so glad you overcame the smoking thing. I think your voice sounds great with all the you get a lot of extra phlegm.
With all the smoke in it still.
Well, huh? you had a great voice, and it's still great, and keep it that way.
Thank you. Actually, I think the nose has cleared up a little bit, so I don't have as nasally a voice.
That's true. I agree with you.
Well, now that you've bragged on me, you can have the next 20 minutes of the program.
Well, no, I just, read the paper yesterday in the Sentinel about the $40 million plant, and when I read it, I thought, oh, my God, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I can't believe that there's no understanding of the fact that we have millions of gallons of water flowing, at the time of the big rainfall that we had at the beginning of the year.
Nobody caught it.
Yeah, there was 476 million gallons per minute flowing out into the sea. To think that the experts think that, okay, the ocean really needs this water, then they have to dredge, everything so that the crab fishermen can get out. And I'm like, the whole Highway 9 there, that deep, deep valley, is just so obviously ready for a dam, And then what about the Kings Creek Dam? They stopped that one. They want to control the water because that's the new blue gold, and that's how you can control everyone's lives.
And do not forget that academia controls that student vote that keeps any of this from ever happening.
Well, and the student vote, I just can't believe it. I mean, for
instance, do conservatives want to control people's lives, or do only liberals want to do that?
We just want to be able to live our lives. I mean, we'd like to direct a little traffic with regards to which way the community goes, but, I think we're far more open than the left is.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we want to be free to do what's good and right for the, for everyone. And, the liberals want to make sure that, everybody's treated supposedly fairly, but really, I mean, the affirmative action, that whole thing is putting people who wouldn't necessarily do as good a job in the position of getting as much benefits as others who probably should get that job, So it's, to me, ridiculous that you're going to pay, even after the desalinization is done, you're still going to end up paying about $1 a gallon in the fees of electricity and what it takes to purify that water.
There's another ordinance. I don't know if it affects the county or not, but I'm sure it's in the city of Santa Cruz, that you're not allowed to use gray water for your gardens or anything unless
it's
been
the
changed.
Death penalty?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's,
it's ridiculous.
When I was a kid growing up, right after biodegradable soaps came out, my mom made me dig a ditch around the back of the house that ran to the front so that she could plant some new hedges.
Yep.
And the water would pump out of the washing machine, and it would feed the watering of those hedges.
Yep. The hedges didn't mind at all, did they?
And the hedges didn't mind at all, believe me.
Well,
and it seems to me that we need to get back to some of these old practices. We could save literally millions of gallons of water a year if we would allow people to use gray water. I mean, with today's soaps, I don't see the problem. I just don't see it.
Well, they're worried about, there was a recent thing about the waste of pharmaceutical pills through people's urine ending up in the water supply. So that's their big thing now, is that all these drugs people are taking are ending up in the water. But there is, if you think about it, if you use the siphoning effect, we built a pipeline for oil. Why can't we build any one of my house alone? I have a spring in my house on my creek that could probably eventually flood the Salinas Valley. If you just put a 5-pound PCV pipe with a 5-pound pump, endless water, it's a living spring, pump that water constantly, it's not going to cost nowhere near $40 million to run a pipeline.
And I also want to throw in that I don't think the plants would mind a bit if they got medicated with a schizophrenic drug. I just don't believe... just don't believe they'd have a problem.
A 5-inch pipe is going to be a lot less. I mean, if they're worried about environmental impact, once you put all the pipes in the road for, everything else that we do, what's wrong with adding a pipe for water? And if we're at a higher point and we siphon it to a lower point, it shouldn't have any problem with as far as the money to make that happen.
You know what my water bill is in Montana?
$13 a month.
Zero.
Ooh, deal.
You just call up the well guy and you say, I want a well right here, and he says it's going to cost you $3,000 complete with the pump, and run. And we'll connect it to the existing line. You say, dig it, and he digs it. Then he comes back with a piece of paper, and he says, you've got water rights, and that's it.
Well,
Steve,
do you think,
would you like more Santa Cruzans to become expatriates to Montana?
No, I want it all to myself. Actually, look, most middle-class people in California, particularly in the Santa Cruz area, you have jobs that don't pay as much as elsewhere. You have living costs that are two or three times what they are elsewhere. And so your whole life, you're going to be fighting to make it and to exist in this community. The old adage that it's a great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live here, certainly applies in my case right now. You can buy a place to live in Montana with a quarter acre of land for under $100,000.
That's the deal.
Okay.
You can have my
you may not make
you.
As much money at work, but you don't need as much money at work. You may have to commute a little bit, but there isn't any traffic to worry about. I passed less cars going from where I live in Montana all the way to Elko, Nevada. Actually, I could say all the way to Reno, Nevada. I passed fewer cars than what I came across from San Jose to Santa Cruz. Who did I lose? Did I talk too much? Did I talk so much that somebody ended up going off the air?
Yes.
I killed him.
You.
Tammy, I'm sorry. Oh, well, that gives us a chance to go on to June in Santa Cruz. Welcome to KSEO. We got 10 minutes left.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Oh, hi, June.
I just wanted to say I'm very happy to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you.
And welcome back. And I hope you have a show like before, you know, have your own show here.
Well, I'm sorry, June, but I got here on Thursday, and I'm going to be leaving on Tuesday.
Oh.
And I can't wait to be gone.
Oh,
there's too much tension and stress in Santa Cruz. Haven't you felt it?
Huh?
Haven't you felt all that stress in Santa Cruz?
Well, I'm an artist. I work at home, so.
Oh, so you relieve yourself through the brush, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
I see.
So I just, anyway, I'm really happy. What a wonderful surprise to hear your voice this morning.
Well, it's Easter. I have and Jesus comes back tomorrow. I came back a day early.
That's good. I love that Easter. Okay, good luck, and I hope you will have a show again here.
Thank you very much, darling. Okay. I appreciate
it.
Bye bye now. Now let's go to Barbara in Scotts Valley. Good morning, Barbara. How are you today?
You don't even know who this is, do you?
Well, it's Barbara Scharfenstein.
Yes, it is.
One of my moms.
One of your moms.
And I didn't know until I heard the voice and the challenge. And then I said, uh-oh, I know who that. Actually, I probably even know the number. Does it still have a couple of lucky numbers with a 3 and a 2 in it?
It does, but it's unlisted, so please.
Yeah, I think I still remember the number. I'll try it after I get off the air. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
And how is your water situation?
It is not a problem.
How do you like living in Scotts? Oh, wait a minute. You got a well.
That's right. We don't actually live in Scotts Valley, Steve. We're out of the city limits.
Really. Oh, so you didn't drill.
Oh, we have a course. Remember when we built the log home?
I did, but I didn't want people to think
well
you drilled in the city of Scotts Valley. You'd have the police there in no time.
Huh? We're in the county. Our zip code, believe it or not, is 95060.
So how do you feel about a pothole tax, Barbara?
Well, I think it stinks.
And why does it stink?
Because
can't you
right.
afford to pay a little more?
Listen, you know, the thing is, personally, we can afford it. That's not, you know, it's just politics as usual.
It's the principle of the thing.
Well, yeah.
And isn't it funny that they're probably looking at this tax for property owners to pay.
Well, of course.
So that other people can use our roads and not have to worry about potholes.
Right, because our road has lots of potholes, always does, because when you got trucks coming up and down.
Do you see potholes as being what should be considered part of essential services? Do you think maintaining roads should be an essential service?
Well, it really costs people lots of money every time they hit one. The car goes kapunk.
Oh, good point. How about a class action lawsuit against the county for vehicle damages?
You have enough of that. You know what I was looking at yesterday to totally change the subject?
Now, you can totally change the subject, but you have to say hello to the boss first.
Hello, boss.
Barbara, how in the world are you?
I'm fine, Michael. We've had discussions before.
Oh, yes.
I go way back to Santa Cruz, way before any of you guys were even born.
Very spirited discussion.
Yeah, but you still look 39.
No, but you know, Steve, I'm going to be 80 this year, and Bill's going to be 82.
Jamie,
there must be some
Christmas.
Mistake.
It's in the genes. And it's eating all them nuts and seeds. And I was so thrilled to hear you're not smoking. How many lectures have I given you on that?
I hear.
Listen, I'm going to be talking to Lynn later. I want to be able to tell her, how long have you been smoke-free?
Well, you know, hey, my email address is the same, and I quit the 12th of March, 2006.
Good, because she's been 7 years.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
You know, she never emails me, and so I just figured she doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
Do you have a Hartman at KSCO.com address that would be real easy to remember?
I do not. But
okay,
how hard is dumb and easy?
Okay. It's sort of hard. It's sort of hard.
How about, you know, I have another email address.
Your email address dumbandeasy.com?
No. Yeah. No. My email, for you who want to get a hold of me,
yeah,
anytime.
Okay.
KSCOradio@AOL.com. How hard is that, Michael?
And they won't dump it, huh?
It's okay.
They won't dump it.
But Hartman at KSCO would be better. But
I don't have one of those email addresses.
I'll set it up if you want me to.
Thank you. Hear that, Nikki? I'm getting my own email address. Hartman at KSCO Radio. What do you think?
But some people
might perfect.
Think
I love
two
it.
Ends at the end.
No, that would be of another ethnic persuasion. Would I not be correct, Michael?
Yeah, so it's Hartman @ASCO.com.
Correct.
I'll see if I can get it set up in the next hour or so.
Thank you.
And you can just check your, it'll forward to your, KSCO, what is it? The AOL one?
KSCO@AOL.com.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me, KSCO Radio@AOL.com.
Okay, so you can just check that and you'll get the KSCO.com email also there.
Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, what supervisorial district are you in, Barbara?
Buttes.
You're in the 2nd district?
Yep.
Huh. Buttes. So she's retiring. Who are you looking at as a candidate?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm terrible.
Well, knowing you, it won't be long before you find out. When you do, you can let me know.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you, darling.
All right, my dear. Take care.
We are finishing up here. We got about 4 minutes left, and you are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Don't know if we're going to have time for any more phone calls other than those people that are on the board already. Gordy in Boulder Creek, you're up. It's 3 minutes before the hour.
Before you leave town, you got to check in with Mary Kay at the Not This Time Vet.
I doubt that I'll have time to do that.
Oh,
sadly. But you know my email address now, don't you?
I do.
What is it?
It's Hartman@KSCO.com.
Yeah, but
in another hour,
give it an hour or
two.
Or two for it to be
yeah. Listen, if you want a place up here around Boulder Creek, I'm sure I can arrange with Debbie Donner to get you some land on Hartman Creek Road.
In Brookdale?
No, it's off Deer Creek.
Oh, really? We've got a Hartman in Brookdale too.
Well, you can have Hartman Creek. You can have Hartman Creek Road.
Oh, I could pick my own name, huh?
No, they're already named for you.
Well, that would be Grandpa and Uncles.
And you'll have your own water.
Wow.
Okay. Which is a subject that was brought up earlier. You know, the San Lorenzo Valley Water District is the only district in the county that doesn't have water storage.
Yeah.
No.
How about that?
No dams. No underground storage. Nada. So we go through this drought flood routine all the time. There's a lack of vision from our local water district.
How come there's no kind of dams to just pool water so that it could be taken out and
filtrated. Well, the only one that exists is Loch Lomond, but that's for the city of Santa Cruz.
They're sure greedy, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, Mike Vicente's is the guy to vote for in Jan Butte's district.
Mike Vicente.
Yes.
Now, I've got to tell you, if I'm not mistaken, Carolyn Boosenhardt is also running. And we have certainly had our wars and battles at the personal level over the past several years. But I would urge voters in the 2nd District to give her a look-see, too, because I know she's a tough lady and would come down hard on the crap that's going on around here. So take a look at the one that Gordy asked you to take a look at, and take a look at the one that I'm asking you to look at, because we, you know, Obama speak now. We got to have some change around here.
Yeah, for some deep thought. You know, everybody that enters into public office takes the oath.
Quick, Gordy, quick.
The Constitution is what they swear to adhere to. Our rights should be paramount when they go into making decisions. They're not. That's the problem. Thank you, Steve, and have a wonderful time while you're here.
Hey, I hear you're running for supervisor, too. Let me wish you good luck. And do you have a web page?
No, I don't even have a computer right now.
Well, you know, let me tell folks, you are going to be a candidate for the 5th Supervisorial District, and when those web pages get up, take a look at them, folks. Thank you very much, Gordy.
Thank you, Steve.
Folks, I don't know whether I've run long on the hour or not. Let me just say it's been my pleasure to sit here with you this morning and talk with you. Hope you all take care. This is, from my standpoint, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey.
Wait,
Miss
so,
Nikki.
Steve, thanks.
That's all, folks. Relief agencies here in Missouri that are helping out the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and local churches, they're doing what they can to help these people find shelter. But the big problem with this water, even though it may be cresting this weekend, this water is going to be around for at least a week.
Fox News Radio's Todd Starnes. Missouri's Merrimack River due to crest later today at a record 40 feet, taxing levees and creating worry lines and a lot of foreheads in the Show Me State. Winter-weary people in the northern Midwest are coping with another snow dump that closed Milwaukee's airport, forced hundreds of flight cancellations at Chicago's O'Hare, and had this Michigan resident thinking creatively.
I'm kind of done with it, but this is still Michigan. I wish they changed spring to April and quit teasing us, you know. This is nothing but teasing us, so, hey, I got to live with it, you know.
Michigan gets an average 52 inches of snow annually. This year they've gotten 20 inches beyond that. The Shuttle Endeavour astronauts heading out on a last spacewalk of their 16-day mission, this one requiring a stint as moving men.
Ever since an undetected hole in Space Shuttle Columbia's heat shield tore Columbia apart over Texas 5 years ago, shuttle missions have included two heat shield inspections in orbit.
And liftoff of Endeavor.
Once when they reach space to make sure nothing's hit during liftoff, and once before returning to make sure no space debris hit during the stay at the International Space Station. Usually that second check is done after the orbiters left the station, but they did it yesterday because they're leaving the laser-tipped boom at the station.
ISS Houston on.
Spacewalkers are parking it there so that the next shuttle, Discovery, has room in its payload bay to bring up the huge Japanese laboratory.
Fox's Holly Hickman. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
In the Fox Light.
Elliot Spitzer is in a bit of a sticky wicket, and we have a new twist on the case. According to former New York detective and Fox News contributor Bo Deedle, his sources say the investigation into Spitzer and his ties to a prostitution ring was kicked off by the arrest of 62 mobsters, including bosses of the Gambino family, made a month back. Sources say the Emperor Club was protected by the mob, and in return, they decided to hand over Spitzer to the feds. Bada bing. Well, Ashton Kutcher is back to his punking ways, but this time the joke's on the paparazzi. From L.A., entertainment blogger Shira Lazar has the goods.
Court, remember those Avril Lavigne baby bump pics that prompted pregnancy rumors? Yup, the joke was on us.
What other big Hollywood stories are possibly a hoax? Heather Locklear's recent 911 suicide call and Paris Hilton's latest overnight relationship with rocker Benji Madden.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
Another grim milestone approaching in Iraq. Three more American soldiers killed in a roadside bomb blast today north of Baghdad. And that brings the number of U.S. service members and Pentagon civilians killed to just four, fewer than 4,000. For now, the State Department doesn't see anything nefarious in its embarrassing presidential contenders' passport protocol violations.
At least four workers at the State Department snooping into candidate files. But while breaches of files for Barack Obama and John McCain are believed to be purely innocent, a State Department spokesman says the Hillary Clinton breach definitely was, occurring during a new worker's training.
People are encouraged to enter a family member's name just for training purposes. This person chose to enter Senator Clinton's name. It was immediately recognized. They were immediately admonished.
That spokesman, Sean McCormick, the three candidates do want congressional probes of the breaches, and it does appear they'll be getting several. In Washington, Chris Barnes, Fox News Radio.
China not mincing words about those anti-Chinese rule protests in Tibet that have been garnering global empathy. The leading government newspaper in China calling today for the demonstrations to be, quote, resolutely crushed. A senior European Union official saying European countries should not rule out the threat of an Olympics boycott to affect the situation. Watch out for some tainted fruit that's gotten widespread distribution.
The FDA urging people to toss their cantaloupe if they come from a Honduran fruit grower and packer. That company, Agropecuario Montalibano. The fruit linked to a salmonella outbreak. 50 people sickened in 16 states from coast to coast. 14 had to be hospitalized. Salmonella symptoms range from fever to gastrointestinal problems. For people with compromised immune systems, it can be life-threatening. Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
One of two men charged with abusing cattle in a California slaughterhouse has been sentenced to 6 months in jail. Rafael Herrera pleading guilty to three misdemeanor charges. He'll be deported to Mexico after he serves his term. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080 on this Saturday, March 22nd, and I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast for today. Sunny skies with a high of 69. The north-northwest wind will be between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 43 degrees and a little north-northwest wind between 7 and 10 miles per hour. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 70 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today. North winds 5 knots becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves will be 1 to 3 feet at northwest swell, 4 to 8 feet at 12 seconds. Current temperatures around the bay, Monterey and Salinas are both at 60 degrees, Watsonville 59, and here at KSCO Studios we're at 62 degrees. The official time is 12:06.